Well, like I said, it is our 180th program here of Musicians Come and Play, and we have our guest on the line, Mr. Jerry Kale on the line, and we say good morning, Jerry. How are you doing?
Well, pretty good. Thank you very much, and Happy New Year to your listening audience.
Yes, and a Happy New Year to you, too, as well. Now,
thank you.
Tell us where you're at, Jerry.
I'm at Mesa, Arizona right now at Eternal Life Lutheran Church. The service just got over here.
Okay.
And the church is about 3 miles from where we're living in East Mesa.
Okay, so, and you're wintering down there then, is what you're doing?
Yeah, I guess you could call it. We get back in early April, and
uh-huh.
I started music job last night at New Year's Eve, and I have some other jobs. I think there's about 25 jobs down here.
Okay.
For the winter, and I work mostly with Julie Lee, but once in a while I pick up another gig with another band or two.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of cool. It has been raining here the last day. I think they had quite a bit of rain. There's water standing in the low spots, and it seems to me the soil that is here holds the water very well. You know, and they have a lot of rocks instead of grass,
mm-hmm.
and the weeds always grow up through those rocks, so I can go out with my hula hole and keep hoeing weeds. Every week I go out and around the motorhome and hoe a few weeds. So
tidying things up a bit for the winter then. All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Jerry, we've had you on the show once before, but it's been a long time ago. So do you want to refresh our memory and just tell us how you got going in the music business? How old were you when you started in doing this whole thing?
I was 14. Dad put me in the band on Easter Sunday, and the dance was at the Lakeside Ballroom in Avon.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think Jerry Schuft was new on the band that night, too. I think we started the same night. And so it's been 59 years. It'll be here 60 pretty soon. And it's been quite a run, I guess you'd call it.
Absolutely.
You know, Dad exposed me to a lot of other band leaders. And then I started freelancing in 1964. My first band was Wally Pickle. And Wally, this past season, was still working yet some.
Yes.
He's got a combo. And it's been adventurous, let's say.
I would say. And what instruments do you all play, Jerry?
Well, Dad always needed a sax and clarinet player, so that's what I started with. And and that is my main instrument today. I do play some trumpet, and for a while I played some slide trombone. But slide trombone, you should play that more frequently because of what that is.
Sure.
And I bought a valve trombone and a flugelhorn when they became popular, and I played some banjo and some rhythm guitar. And in 1990, I bought a wind synthesizer for, actually I was looking for good string sounds as I had a church orchestra, but when I looked at this particular instrument, it had good tuba on it, so I play that part-time down here, some tuba voice.
Okay.
And once in a while out in Minnesota and that area, I do pick up some tuba jobs once in a while.
Oh, that's neat.
And, but primarily instrument is sax and clarinet.
Sure.
That's my mainstay.
And a little banjo too yet?
A little banjo too, yeah. I just love banjo. Especially for a polka band, a very snappy sounding rhythm. And, it's an old banjo. I think it's a 1938 Ludwig, and
okay.
that was a drum manufacturer that made banjos way back then. Actually, it's the only Ludwig banjo I've ever seen.
Okay,
so they got to be pretty rare. Anyhow,
sure.
That, it's been a good experience.
Uh-huh. So now, did you do any instrument work or any playing when you were in high school? Did you play with concert band, marching bands, any of that type of stuff?
I played high school band.
Okay.
High school band. I did not go to college. And so it was strictly high school band, you know.
Sure.
And Dad was a good mentor.
Yeah.
Dad was not a technician, I guess you'd call it, but he really knew, I always say he was a rhythm guy, intonation, tonal quality, and expression. That was his fine attributes, and I really miss my dad. He got killed in a farm accident in 2002, in September of 2002.
And for those that don't know, we're talking about Ivan Kale.
Yes.
Now, who was your mom?
Ethel was my mother. Her maiden name was Rolf, and she grew up in the county where I live in.
Mm-hmm.
She's of course, German heritage, and she would speak Plattdeutsch, which is the Low German.
Sure.
The church we went to, the pastor would have a German service every Sunday, in addition to the English service that he would have, a country church. And that was the church also where Earl Schmidt had attended, you know. Which is actually pretty close to where I live.
Sure.
You know, in the county.
Okay. So, did you have any brothers or sisters at all, Jerry?
I got two sisters. Pam is 7 years younger than I am, and Patricia, she's 12 years younger than I am, and they both sing in some choirs they have in the past. Patty is still singing with choir. I'm not so sure about Pam. She was singing with Bill Niebuhr's Norwood Chorus when Bill was alive, but she dropped out of that choir.
Okay.
Bill was an excellent director, and they would do also the German songs, and they traveled to Europe a few times, and
mm-hmm.
he was, like I say, a fine director. He had different ways of directing and getting expression. So
you bet.
And he stuttered, by the way, too. This guy, he had a beautiful voice, but when he'd talk, he would stutter a lot. He was like Mel Tillis.
Yes, yeah, I was just going to say.
Yes, I have two sisters. I don't have any brothers.
Well, talking more about the Ivan Kale Band, and that's pretty much where your roots are.
Yes.
Your dad got killed that time. He was still active and playing at the time. That must have been very devastating, huh?
Oh, yes, it was, you know, because I looked to him as a real staple in the business, and he really gave me the help with the talents that I have today in what he was, would strive for. And number one was rhythm, was gospel, so to speak. That was so essential in music, starting with rhythm. And so it's been a great experience. You know, and when I say I freelanced, a couple of years ago I started adding up how many groups I played with.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, today there's some duo things. You know, I'll use an electric drum and play a wind synthesizer bass with a concertina player for a small party or something. But I wrote down 60 different groups that I worked with.
My goodness.
There's probably about five of those that are duos. And I do still have it, always about a half a dozen every year I work with through the year. And some band leaders pass on, and then sometimes I add some new guys, like Adam Sandhurst was one of the younger guys that I worked with, or Chris Kelchin,
sure.
A Riverbend Dutchman, and Adam Sandhurst, fine young musicians.
Absolutely. There are a few young ones still coming up through the ranks that are very good.
Yes.
You've been seen with Dale Damon. The Polka Beats,
yep.
They're an up-and-coming, really good band, too. There's several of them out there. And, of course, we've seen you with Carl over the years. I think you've done some time with Carl. And
yes.
Probably Ray Dorschner. Have you been with
him? A little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit of a stray Dorschner. Yeah. Carl, I worked with four jobs down here last year.
Okay.
I see his name on the schedule in February for a couple dates, and I assume, well, last year he had a full band here with three horn players, you know, and
sure.
a keyboard guy and a tuba, you know, drummer. And so I never know when I'm going to pick up some additional jobs. And I have to say, thank to you about having your musical products website under Size Music, because of what that is. I think you have over 500 items on that website.
Absolutely,
is that
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
And I always appreciate the old Hoopy John radio shows that you have
uh-huh.
available. And I was thinking recently, how many musicians that Dad used from the Hoopy John band, guys that played with Hoopy over the years, and I think there was 8 people that Dad used, mostly sax and clarinet players, because mm-hmm. I was in the military 2 years in the 60s, and then he had a couple tuba players. Hoopy had a couple tuba players that helped Dad,
mm-hmm.
and one trombone player that worked with Hoopy bands.
Wow.
And,
really neat.
And so I got some of those CDs along, and I listen to them here, you know, occasionally here down in Mesa. And a lot of people, you know, from snowbirds from wherever in the United States are not familiar usually with the Hoopy John band, so it's nice that I can show them that what's available.
You bet. Well, Jerry, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment, it's already 12 o'clock here in Minnesota, and it's time to read the ad for the St. Joe Meat Market, our sponsor, and then we'll come back with you and continue the conversation, if that's all right.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
All righty. So, Cy, here with the St. Joe Meat Market, and a Happy New Year. Yes, it is 2017. We hope that all of your holiday parties and gatherings were successful and went off without a hitch. Well, don't stop now. With Christmas and New Year's just about complete, there is still some after-the-holiday parties scheduled. And don't forget, the NFL football playoffs are just beginning. A great reason to get together with friends. Put the St. Joe Meat Market on the top of your list for your food and party needs. The list of party entrees is endless. The St. Joe Meat Market has pulled pork with or without the barbecue sauce. There's the little cocktail wieners and sausages and homemade meatballs, basting and barbecue sauce are always a huge success. Our homemade deli roast beef with the au jus makes a wonderful entree to center your meal around, and it's so easy to prepare. Meat and cheese trays come in the standard $15, $20, and $25 sizes. They're made up fresh daily. Just call ahead to request the size you need. For the more formal dinners, there's hams, turkeys, smoked turkeys, prime rib roast, pork loin roast, and a full line of sausages always on hand, just a phone call away. Also look for fresh bakery goods from not one, not two, but three great local bakeries. They are the Artisan Home Bakery, the Cold Spring Bakery, and the Albany Home Bakery, bringing in those fresh bakery goods several times a week. As always, for more great in-store specials, and the phone number to call is 320-363-4913. You can like us on Facebook, or you can look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. Again, from the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market, a wish to you for a safe and prosperous new year in 2017. And Jerry, for being our guest on the program, and of course, you know how it goes. You've been here before. We put the nice meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market. We're going to send that down to you there in Arizona so that you have something to feast on while you're away. How's that?
Okay. Thank you very much, Cy. Thank you very much.
And you're with your wife, Sharon, down there in Arizona as well?
Yes. Yes. She was not feeling well. I played last night and was the late shift, 8:30 to 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got out of the ballroom about 1:30, and then we were invited out. So we were at somebody's house for another hour. But she said she didn't hardly sleep at night because of Charlie horses. So She stayed home this morning going to church.
Yeah.
And so I'm married to a fine lady.
Uh-huh, you are.
It'll be 50 years in May.
Really? Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Any children to that marriage?
Yes, we have three. Michelle, our oldest, is about 45. Craig is, I think he's 42. And then there's Kim. She's 41.
Uh-huh.
I think she's 41. They both have, we have 8 grandchildren.
Oh, good for you.
And 2 great-grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. So, wow.
Yeah.
the old family tree is still going then.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful.
Yes, it is.
Wonderful. And do the kids all stay home then when you guys travel to, away for the winter, or are they around the country, or where are they located?
They're all in, one is Michelle's at Cocado, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Craig is in the county of Carver County, New Germany, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim is in Glencoe.
Oh, yes.
That's in McLeod County.
Sure.
And that's close. They're very
sure.
close to us. Yeah.
So if there's a downside to traveling, being away for 3-4 months, that would be it. You're away from the family for those 3-4 months then.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay.
Our son talked about coming down here, and we'll wait and see.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, just going back one more time to the Ivan Kale Band and that your dad getting so suddenly and tragically killed, that must have left you in disarray. Did you have to cancel all the jobs, or did you try to run the band?
Well, he didn't. He really didn't have many jobs, so that wasn't a problem.
Okay.
I did put together one reunion dance at Claremore Ballroom at Glencoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was quite a success. In fact, they had to turn people away. There wasn't room for all the people that showed up. And I think there was people there from 5 states.
Wow.
And it was the Hutchinson radio station that put on the dance. And
sure.
So they advertised it well. And,
okay.
Now,
did you ever consider carrying on the band at all yourself, Jerry?
Well, yes, but it's hard to get musicians today, especially horn players. Failing eyesight, one of the musicians that worked with Dad in the later years, his eyesight has failed. And
that's probably Myron Wolf?
Yes, it is.
We had Myron on the program here, too, and I haven't heard from him recently, but have you seen him at all or heard how he's doing?
He's doing fine. I haven't talked to him for a little bit, but we kind of stay in touch to his friends. And he's doing okay, but his eyesight, you know, is for...
For the fine reading, yeah.
Yes, he needed to read. He does play with a combo down out of Mankato, Mary Gensel, and it's he's kind of learned to do some... You know, improvising without reading,
mm-hmm.
working with her combo,
mm-hmm.
and they do a lot of Christmas parties. I think he had 11 jobs in December.
Okay.
So I'm excited for him that he can work some, and be able to continue his.
Sure. Did you
music what he loves so much? But he likes to play hula rice. He'll come to a dance once in a while where we have a bigger band and. Him and Myron Muehlbauer,
they will play
some hula rice together. You know those two guys.
Absolutely. You bet. So did you keep the library, or did the library get sold, or whatever happened with that?
No, I kept the library. There was somebody who wanted to buy it, but it was in kind of bad shape because, you know, a lot of it was old.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when Dad played, he kind of... would change the library a little bit, you know, from through and for all of us who would work with him, we would change with him. We knew
sure.
what to do, and but it's hard to get horn players today. There's only just like Myron Muehlbauer and
mm-hmm.
maybe another one or two.
Frank Melmer, yeah,
and they're really busy people playing quite a bit, and Myron is especially. Busy because he teaches school for Caterpillar.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Ziegler Caterpillar, I should
mm-hmm.
say. And so he traveled out of state a lot of weeks. I think last year he told me he had 55 schools.
Sure.
And that's usually three or 4 days. You go to Des Moines, Iowa, North Dakota, Northern Minnesota, Illinois, and so he travels a lot, and which he doesn't really care to do. that much, but the company is prevailing on him to teach a lot for them.
So, sure. Well, you know, and Jerry, I get so many things. I'm myself quite a busy fellow, just like you are, and I talk to so many people, and things come and go. And something just flashed through my mind. I was talking to somebody this week, and I don't remember which one it was, but I'll put my finger on it in a minute. But they said to ask you about a cucumber or something like that.
A cucumber?
Yes. Do you play a cucumber or something like that?
Well, I think that's the wind synthesizer tuba.
Oh, okay.
Because it looks like a black stick, you know, and... It kind of looks like a black, you know, a stealth bomber without wings.
Okay. Well, I was talking to Molly this week, Molly B., and I was talking to Carl, of course. Carl was our guest last week. So between them, one of them mentioned, and I also talked to Jerry Schneider. He's going to be our guest next week from Chilton, Wisconsin. And somebody, one of them mentioned, be sure and mention to Jerry about a cucumber. So, so I don't quite... Well, quite know what all the whole story is on that, but
Well, I think it's about the wind synthesizer, and actually, I'd like to look at the Roland brand has a new wind synthesizer out that's self-contained, and I haven't heard all the voices. There's some YouTube videos on it, but I think it has some wonderful potential for combo playing where you. Like the feature of, you know, a flute or maybe a violin voice or something.
And, sure.
See, I had a church orchestra in 1990 through about 1990 or 2005, and then I looked at wind synthesizers, and this synthesizer that I have, I was looking for good string sounds, violin, viola, cello, and it has those sounds on them, but they're not very good. But the tuba voice is excellent, and so that's why I bought it, because of the tuba voice. And,
sure.
I suppose that's why somebody called it
the cucumber.
The cucumber. a cactus from Marvin Store from the Jolly Brewers. He would call it the swinette.
Oh, yeah. Well, wonderful. I want to ask you a couple more things real quickly, Jerry. On a more somber note, did you ever get a chance to sit in with the Jolly Lumberjacks?
No, I did not. No. And I admired the band. They were very unique, you know. I know Myron Wolf played with them a fair amount over the years.
Sure.
Not too many other guys that I worked with the Lumberjacks. They had pretty steady people.
Sure.
Which I'm always amazed because Harold, or rather Clem, and I know Harold just passed away.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Our good
friend, a common friend that we have, Jay Patterson, Jolly Jay. Jay called me yesterday, and he informed me, and so I found out through him that... Harold's funeral was on Friday.
I think so.
Yeah, Friday.
Think so.
And I think he
was... In Chaska.
In Chaska, yeah. And he was, 90, 93 years old somewhere?
I think he was 94.
94?
I remember seeing the email on it, and I think he was 94.
Okay, yeah. So, always kind of sad when we lose a fellow musician, because those guys really aren't being replaced.
Right.
You know, they were at the height of their career back when I was in my going out and dating years, and we danced to them up here in Richmond and Pelican Lake and some of those ballrooms. Oh, my gosh, that was just the most exciting band. I mean, I enjoyed your dad's band and Elmer Scheid and everybody, but there was something about the Lumberjacks. Boy, they had some zing in their music, huh?
Yes, and Harold played tuba on old time, but on modern he played trombone.
Yes.
So they had five horns and some nice arrangements.
You bet.
That was a good key to that band.
You bet.
Having fine arrangements for modern, they went as a modern band under the name Clem Brow.
Yeah.
And old time, it was under the name Jolly Lumberjacks.
You bet. Well, and, I didn't mean to drag you off the track here. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the recordings, and I know you are responsible or took it upon yourself to get your dad's music together and put it out on 5 CDs, and you make those available to me, so I have those for people that are looking for Ivan Kael music. And tell me just a little bit about that, how you went about that. Your dad must have had a number of recordings, huh?
Oh, yes. He had a couple 78s from 1947, which are the first four tunes on Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had some 45s in 59 when Jerry Schrift was on the band, Earl Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
And 61, some more 45s. At that time, it was Lowell Schubert already.
Okay.
And then he had some 45s from 67, which was actually part of his first album that came out in 67.
Okay.
And then he had albums in 69, 71, 79, 82, and 87. And then in 93, he came out with just a cassette, because albums were starting to be phased out.
Yeah.
And CDs didn't quite come in yet. And our friend Dennis, HoopyJohn.com, he kept calling me. He says, "You got to put that material on CD, you know." And he would call me about every 2 or 3 months. So I finally got the stuff together, and I got that project done, and it was very successful.
Yes, it is.
So, and thank you for stocking that in on your website, Cyse Music, CYSmusic.com. Is that right?
That is correct, and I appreciate that. You bet, Jerry. So, those are 5 great CDs. I mean, that takes you through the whole history of the Ivan Kael Band. And that was a hard thing back in those years, I would have to say, because musicians did change from time to time. And you can hear the Jerry Schuft or the Earl Schmidt sound on that early recordings when they were on the band. And then, of course, Jerry Minar, just a great concertina player. He's kind of anchored it the last years, huh?
Right, yeah. He was with the band 32 years.
32 years, yeah.
Yeah, 32 years.
Wow.
And, he took some time off. We had, Linda Schrader was always a good backup. She played kind of subbed for a year and some other jobs when Jerry would take off. Jerry Minar did some farming he lives in town and manufactures a Hengel concertina and recording studio, but he would take off when it was harvest season, and so Linda would play a bunch of jobs. Linda now currently lives in New Ulm and a fine concertina lady.
Yes, she is, you bet.
Well,
I have to tell... go ahead, Jerry.
And there were some other concertina players, Ambrose Cornett, Jerry Pitson. He's from the Twin City area. I kind of lost contact with him. I hear about him, and I met him a couple years ago at a dance I worked at. And there was Alvin Klein would help out. I think even Ernie Koopman even helped Ivan a little bit.
Oh, nice.
Way back when. So,
you bet. Well, I have to tell you, Jerry, my first experience with you was not in person, but through my dad. My dad was the drummer for the Deutschmeisters for the first 10 years. And they did some trips to Wisconsin, and they would have trouble getting players on occasion because they were either at work or in school or couldn't travel. And so I remember that Dad said that, boy, they had just one fine musician come and join them. It was Jerry Kael. Oh, he thought the world of you. He just was so excited when you were on the band.
And I enjoyed your dad, too. Even we played in Michigan, Upper Peninsula. And I always thought that was interesting because I always... Every time I played with the Deutschmeister, it was far away.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was Tony and Betty's full-time living, and so they would book jobs and what fit their schedule. But, you know, the other musicians, it was tough when you were working a daytime job and you couldn't always travel then. So that's kind of the, irony of the music world. Most yes. people make it a part-time thing, but there are those that are able to make it a full-time occupation, and you have to kind of sway in between. So.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, we're running short of time, Jerry, and okay. I know I asked you the last time. Can you give us a memorable moment over the years that stands out in your mind? I know it's a spur-of-the-moment thing, but your problem.
Well, I think it was just, well, Dad was invited to play for the President's Party on the Mall in 93. He was the artist chosen from Minnesota. There was one artist per state, mm-hmm. and it wasn't always musical artists. There was, you know, painters and other fine people. I think most of them were musicians. I know Peter, Paul, Mary were there.
Sure.
And there was a black gospel group, and I forget the names of those guys.
Uh-huh.
Their uniform was long-tailed tux with bib overalls underneath.
Oh, my.
And bow tie and white tennis shoes.
Oh, my.
And I've seen them on TV, but not recently.
Sure.
And I forget. So that was...
And who was the president that was being inaugurated?
Well, that was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton, and, okay.
Yeah, Democratic Party paid for the party.
Okay. And do you remember who was all with you? Who was the band that was there then?
Well, on tuba was Jay Pavison mm-hmm. and Jerry Munner, concertina, Myron Wolf on sax, and I on the other horn. And uh-huh. Dad, of course, played trumpet and drums simultaneously.
Okay.
They had a drum set out there in a tuba for those two musicians, so we didn't have to transport that on an airline.
Sure.
And I remember when we got the tickets, you know, to fly out there, it said Michigan. I said, no. I called my dad and saw the tickets. I said, no, the tickets for are out of a city in Michigan. And I said, so we got that corrected before we, you know, it was time to fly.
Sure, sure.
To fly out of Minneapolis. And so that...
Some fantastic stories there, you bet. Well, favorite songs, Jerry, on the recordings, something that you always felt you could really handle well with the clarinet or the sax, or what were the favorite songs that you always liked to see called up?
Oh, boy, that is so hard to answer because... You know, I like trumpet, sax, clarinet, and I just love anything with it has this excellent swinging rhythm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and something that is tastefully done, especially with good rhythm.
Sure.
There's a lot of good hularis, and there's some nice smooth tunes. Right now, I can't remember a couple of the names of those tunes. It's getting awful.
Well, I'm going to help you out. I yeah. have the distinct honor of being able to be part of a recording project with you and Lester Schuft back in 2013. And you guys did a couple numbers on that recording. The one that stands out in my mind is Life in the Finnish Woods with three clarinets.
I mean, oh, yes.
That
yeah,
was beautiful.
That
yep.
You know, and it's a tune that it can't be... played too fast to make it really beautiful, yet it should be played with a little lilt through the rhythm
uh-huh.
and smoothly along. And those were the two fine clarinet players to work with. I feel so honored to
yep.
to have worked with those guys.
Two and, Myrons, yep, Myron Wolf, Myron yes. Mielbauer, and yep. yourself. And I got to sit behind on the drums there, and it was like on autopilot. I mean, with those musicians out front there, holy buckets, it was just a great time. So,
yeah.
So we're going to feature some of that music coming up in the next half hour here.
Yes. And, you know, I had a lady come up to me in Duncan, Iowa. She says, the Myrons play some hularis, and I said, right away, I think I got the CD for you.
Yep.
It's Lester Schuft's Down by the Riverside.
Yes.
Because it has about eight of them on there, I think it is.
Yep.
And, she was so excited to
really?
to have that available to her.
Uh-huh.
And, Thank you very much for that session.
You bet. Well, with that, Jerry, we're going to let you go and wish you well. Like I told you the last time, good Lord willing, you and I are both here down the road again sometime. We'll do this thing again. So
okay.
Just want to thank you for taking time out on this New Year's Day and hope that your winter trip goes well.
Yeah, happy to do that and looking forward to that again. And like I say, Happy New Year to you, to your listeners out there in Radio Land. And hope you have a good year.
You bet. Well, we're going to let you run, Jerry. If you want to hang on the phone there, I'll talk to you off the air. And wish you well. Thanks again, Jerry.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. And there he goes, Mr. Jerry Kale. Jerry Kale of the Ivan Kale Orchestra and many, many other bands. We'll be hearing music coming up from the Ivan Kale Band, Lester Shuff Band, bands that Jerry played and appeared with. So don't go away.